100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, George.
I mean, do we have things to get into today? A full show. 2, 4, 6, 7, something like 7, 8 guests. I can't do the math. We got it all covered. Last night, Hillman Stadium, uptown New Orleans. At least Tulane led once. They lost, though. We'll talk a little bit more about that game. Pels at the Bulls. They take on Chicago right here on ESPN New Orleans. Saints getting closer to their game against Washington. LSU. I didn't even forget. The Riverbell Classic. I hadn't forgot about that. Noon tomorrow, SLU Nichols.
It's Friday. Gotta get down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Friday. Getting down on Friday. Everybody's looking forward to the weekend. Partying. Fun. Looking forward to the weekend. It's Friday.
Indeed, there it is. Rebecca Black, letting you know you made it to the end of your work week. It absolutely still feels like summer. What happened? Where's the fall weather? I blame Jordan the intern. We'll hear from Jordan the intern here shortly. Here's your guest list for our numero uno. Chris Hagan, Fox 8, will join us at 12:15. We'll touch on Saints, Tigers, Pels tonight in Chicago. Ken Podlock covers Washington, the football team up there. Literally, that's the name of the Washington football team. Come on, Dan Snyder, pick a name. Anyway, we'll talk to him at 12:30. The intern will return at 12:45 with some top stories. Got some interesting lines that are going on right now in the NFL here as well, including last night. Russell Wilson, did you see his finger? You ever seen Booger McFarland's fingers all still crooked? That's basically what Russell Wilson's finger looks like. Has he played his last game in Seattle? That is now the national topic. In our number one, Mr. Will Guillory of The Athletic will join us. We'll touch on Pels. Vegas at 1:15. Massive fights over the weekend. Massive fights. We'll touch on that. Marlon Favorite 1:30. Keys for LSU to go to Kentucky and pull off an upset. I know that's where you are now. That's where you are. They're ranked 16th. You're not. So it's an upset. Kenny Farrell. Yesterday, last night, the U.S. men's national soccer team, they got a victory. So that's nice to see. And that was a win that they needed to get against Jamaica. They will take on Panama on Sunday, and that's a big one. That game is at 5 o'clock. So you will chime in at 1:45. Leo Haggerty in hour number 3. And we'll, of course, talk about the NFC South. So all of that and more, and that brings us in to our intern, Jordan Kleber, who I last saw, I think, in 2020. I don't know. I don't even honestly remember the last time I saw you. How are you? Hello, Jordan. Oh, there you are.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Hi, Jordan.
Hello, how you doing? It might have been since 2018 since I last seen you.
It kind of maybe does feel that way. How's French going, and how is your walking class going?
I have A's in all of my classes right now, so I can't be any better. Beautiful weather outside.
Yeah.
It's Friday, so looking forward to the next 3 hours listening to the show.
Oh, wow. Yeah, you sound real excited and thrilled about that. No, actually, we have a lot to get into. Look, you know I love the month of October, Major League Baseball. All of that is going on. We'll touch on what happened in the AL yesterday and get into the NL today. I know, are you okay, though? Are you ready for your Braves? You got Graf's Dodgers going at it tonight. Your Braves are ready to go. Do you know what time y'all even play?
Yeah, 3:25.
Okay. Just making sure. Do you know who you're playing? Exactly.
That's the question. Remember, I can't know too much information or I'm going to check the team.
You play the Brewers, Graf's Dodgers, taking on his dreaded rival, the Giants, tonight. Okay? Got it? You take it on Milwaukee.
I'm probably not going to be allowed to watch the game.
At this point, I just want to see if he actually can jinx him. Go ahead. Please watch it and upset Daniel Salerson, who's in Chicago. Give me some questions of the day, sir. Questions of the day.
Yeah, we usually do this every Friday with a Saints game weekend. Saints fans, give us your keys to the game and score prediction as the Saints take on the Washington football team. And your other question of the day has to do with your New Orleans Pelicans. What do you want to see tonight from the Pels in their third preseason game against Lonzo Ball and the Chicago Bulls? And you can comment at ESPN Radio NOLA over on Twitter or call in 800-998-1003 and Buddy will answer your phone call.
All right. So, Jordan, no B.I., no Zion, no Jackson Hayes tonight. And you heard me yesterday kind of touch on with the Pelicans. It's nice to actually not be sitting there going, where is B.I. and Zion and Jackson Hayes? But that's kind of how I felt. So I'm looking at this game. I don't know if it's realistic to expect Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Trey Murphy to drop another 20 points. Trey Murphy, 21 and 20 in his two games. Nikhil Alexander-Walker, 22 and 19 in his two games. They both have combined for 41 points. I don't know if that's realistic, but I like to see that sort of that continuation. So I'm just going to kind of a broad, what do I want to see? I want to see the continued ball movement, the defense. I love the defensive rotations. That's why I like Chicago. One pregame, they're 1-0. And oh my goodness, it is the greatest, you know. I mean, seriously, go back and look after that one game. The greatest starting lineup in the history of the NBA, right? Lonzo Ball, by the way, had 8 points. Anyway, I'm just throwing that out there, right? So I kind of want to see that. I want to see the continued team defense and the offensive ball movement generally. If there's an individual thing I kind of want to see, maybe Devontae Graham, right? Okay. You play two preseason games. You're only playing four. And what I mean by that is, I think, probably needs to show a stretch or two of, okay, that's our point guard. Because right now, Jordan, I'm starting Trey Murphy in the backcourt. You?
Yeah, absolutely. And kind of Coach Willie Green kind of agrees with you. He talked yesterday, and he was just talking about what he wants to see from this team moving forward is just that consistency that you were kind of talking about, from the offensive and defensive side of the ball. So later in the show, when you get and you're able to play that sound, I think that is a really good take in there. But I just want to see the continuation of Josh Hart being able to, you know, be that hustle player. A lot of the guys yesterday were just kind of talking about how he's kind of a rebound stealer from his teammates. And,
I saw that, right. Well, look, you're teasing it. You're teasing both of them. You've teased both. Let's play this. Here's Willie Green on consistency.
Consistency. So, you know, we had a high turnover game against Minnesota, a low turnover game against Orlando. I thought we had a rough start in the second quarter, especially in Minnesota. We put together four good quarters. So consistency going in Chicago. Let's see if we can put it all together on both ends of the floor. Look, it's still early, so we have some time to continue to get better, but it would be great to see us put together a complete game.
All right, I'm going to add slow start, right? Bad second quarter in game one, not so good first quarter in game two. So, yeah, okay, let's just throw in there, slow start there. But I love this, as you're saying this, Josh Hart being called the rebound stealer. That's fantastic.
Who's that, Billy?
I believe it was.
Hey, yeah. Nice. Man, if he was more athletic, he'll be able to get more rebounds. That's all it is. So, I mean, I'm going to leave it at that, man. He's just mad because he's the third best rebounding guy on the team. So, I expect nothing less.
There you go. I love that, Jordan. Would you be a better rebounder than Billy Hernan Gomez?
No, I'm still on the Billy train from last season. So no, I would not be a better rebounder. He is in the NBA Cup.
Okay, I'm just making sure there. I'm making sure. So yeah, there you go. I'm interested in sort of see where they play moving forward in this. But I don't know. I hate to do this because it sounds first take-ish. Concerned or not concerned that B.I. is missing a second game?
No, I'm not concerned at all. I just think, I mean, if he's going to be your number two guy behind Zion, or if you're going to treat him equal to Zion. You want to make sure that he's going to be okay to play in meaningful games, and okay. We know what he can do on the court. So
I'm just saying it would be nice to have a team that you playoffs see to play.
My feathers here,
you know,
Friday.
Come I told you know, it's not being a safety bump. You know, whatever. It would be nice. I mean, you about this same thing. No OTAs. Well, you're seeing the learning curve. Big deal out of it. Here's Willie Green. The update over.
Jackson is still what Brandon is day to day. How he feels tomorrow.
Very good. So over to the Saints, mentioning over Saints, Jordan, Washington. So again, when you take a look, and that's question T. Jones Jr. go, as they can. Ron Rivera on the Saints, Sean Payton.
Oh, I have some out of respect. And you're up in terms of
this Black and Gold Report is brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. Saints at Washington Sunday, and as we look to the keys for victory, one is New Orleans getting to their quarterback, Taylor Heinicke. Saints defensive end Cam Jordan.
He also has a chance to make these explosive plays happen, as you saw on the Atlanta tape last week. For as much as he's exposed, he's also making explosives.
Saints quarterback Jameis Winston says another is handling Ron Rivera's defense.
Eyes on the quarterback. They always attack the ball really well. Always have, you know, a good defensive line and long, rangy corners. And I know they're going to be very well disciplined.
Perhaps we'll see more of running back Alvin Kamara involved in the passing game. They are trying, though, says Winston.
Alvin is probably my primary almost, and defenses know that. So it's their job to take away our best player. But when you take away our best player, he's still getting a buck on you every week. The best part of playing quarterback with a guy who is as versatile as him. Defense fear him more in the passing game than they do in the running game. I do believe that we're doing some good things in the passing game that's going to open up him a little bit more with these weeks to come.
Kamara had zero receptions a week ago. Kickoff is set for noon. For more on the Black and Gold, keep it here on ESPN New Orleans. This Black and Gold report has been brought to you by Rogers Parts, your home for Napa Auto Parts. Locally owned, nationally known. Get your Napa know-how in Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville. Napa
know-how. Rogers Parts, your local distributor of high-quality Napa Auto Parts, marine, and industrial supplies, has what you need to keep your vehicle rolling safely down the road. Whether it's repair or maintenance, Napa has the parts to help you make your vacation destination. Getting ready for that big fishing trip, they have quality marine parts to help keep your boat going. So stop by one of Rogers Parts' 5 locations, Lockport, La Rose, Galliano, Morgan City, and Labadeville, and talk with one of their ASE parts specialists. Rogers Parts, they've got the Napa know-how.
Video poker players know there's a difference at Cash Magic, a big difference. At your local Cash Magic casino, you'll have fun playing the newest games while enjoying our fast and friendly VIP service.
Cash Magic is my lucky place. They really do make you feel like a VIP.
It's time to have fun, so let us make you feel right at home with our fast and friendly VIP service. Come feel the magic today at one of our 9 Cash Magic casinos in Southeast Louisiana, including our 2 newest locations, Cash Magic Galliano and the Royal Flush in Houma. Louisiana's favorite place to play video poker. Cash Magic.
You'll always be a VIP Cash Magic.
Must be 21 or older. Valid ID required. Gambling problem? 877-770-STOP. He's back.
He's like the thing that wouldn't shut up.
He's got his own catchphrase.
He's the best invention since they started frosting Pop-Tarts.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Apologies, as everything is still getting fixed in and around, thanks to Ida. So, yeah, internet goes in and out occasionally, thanks to people trying to get back together. So, what I was texting or I was talking about there a little bit before we dropped out there, here's Ron Rivera talking about the respect that he has for Sean Payton.
Oh, I have a tremendous amount of respect for him and what he's accomplished and things that he does. And year in and year out, he's always been up near the top in terms of his team, in terms of wins and losses, as well as when you look at what they've done in rankings. I mean, he's a very innovative guy. He knows how to attack people. You have to be ready to counter when he does stuff. I mean, he's really good at that in terms of game planning and preparation.
Now you take a look at their team, 2-2 on the season. How's he felt they've played?
Well, I think for the most part, you know, the we're 2-2, and the disappointing part is, you know, is or maybe the fortunate part is we still haven't played as well as we're capable. We haven't played the way we want. There are some obviously things that we're still working on getting corrected, but you know. That's where we are. I mean, to be honest, I mean, I'm just, you know, there's a little bit of frustration sometimes because I know just how much better we can play it, especially based on the way we finished last year. But I know we've got to work to get to where we want to be, so we'll continue to work.
At Chris Hagan TV is the way to follow Mr. Chris Hagan, member of the Fox 8 Sports crew. We like to always have a member around this time of day on Friday. Chris, thanks for joining us. How are you?
For having me. I appreciate it.
Doing fantastic. Sir, when you take a look at where the Saints team is right now, 2-2 on the year, it's nuts when you think about that they actually probably should be 3-1. I've had trouble digesting it this week. Even you heard some of the Saints players trying to kind of get past it. It's not easy. I'm still at a loss at how they lost that game on Sunday, huh?
Yeah, I still think about it too because it's one that was there for them and it's one that in the past, especially in that building, you see the Saints slam the door, and that wasn't there. And you know, the more I think about it, it feels, it's obviously not as drastic and the situation's way different, but it just felt like they thought they might get some gifts against the Giants. They didn't think the Giants would come in there and be as aggressive or maybe be as ready to play. It almost feels like the Denver game last year where you saw this path to victory of where you can be conservative, we're not worried about the big play. And the Giants came out and hit them with the big play, and that made the difference in the game because the Saints didn't have those same plays. And there's no talking your way out of it or denying it that they were super conservative when they got that 11-point lead.
One of the things that I found interesting in that game is you did see the Saints defense play really well at the beginning, and then towards the end they didn't, and I guess it's always complimentary, right? You get a few first downs, things of that nature, but in the shows that you guys did this week, and I know Sean and you always look at videos and kind of look at it with Deuce and Jeff, did you see anything, or was it what Cam Jordan said on Wednesday? Just 3-4 plays broke this team's back, literally.
I think the two big plays definitely hurt, but as Malcolm Jenkins put it after the game, there was a lot of things that happened in between there when you talk about some of those you know, middle of the field routes from Kenny Golladay, Kadarius Toney, just out there looking like Bo Nix slipping out of tackles and running for yards after the catch. Like, that's the things that added up. And those are the things that led to the game tying field goal and then the game winning touchdown in overtime. It wasn't necessarily the big plays. You could have survived those, but they weren't able to stop some of the intermediate stuff. And that's where it was a bit concerning. I didn't see anything extraordinary or maybe a pattern that you could point to otherwise besides Kenny Golladay getting open behind them and having his way and Kadarius Toney doing the same on some of those over routes, some of those routes in the middle of the field just behind the linebackers. They were making some plays, picking up 20, 22, 27 yards, and it chewed up ground and put the Giants in a position to win the game.
Chris, is there a receiver problem or is there a trust problem with Sean Payton and Jameis Winston? That kind of seems what everyone's been discussing a little bit this week. Why is the passing game not going? It's kind of nuts, though, when you look at statistically, Jameis Winston had a nice game on Sunday. Didn't get sacked, didn't throw a pick, managed the game, had 11 straight completions. How did you feel about the passing game and the quarterback play on Sunday?
Man, with the stats you just said, plus some of the throws Jameis made, that's probably his best game of the year in terms of what they asked him to do and him going out and executing. I remember one ball he threw downfield to Ty Montgomery. He makes a diving catch by two defenders. Like, that was a perfect throw. So Jameis was on. I think if the Kenny Stills touchdown doesn't get called back, we're probably having a different conversation. I mean, we're not talking about a Saints loss, probably. We're talking about a right. Saints win instead. And we're talking about a team that came out in the second half and uncorked some deep balls and connected with Marquez Callaway and Kenny Stills and let Jameis air it out a bit. I don't think it's a trust thing so much as just a conservative game plan, because I think later on the schedule, when you're talking about teams like the Cowboys who are moving the ball very well and games against Tom Brady and what they can do on offense and put up points in a hurry and some of the teams that they have on the rest of the schedule, you're not going to be able to play that conservative. If there's a trust issue, it needs to be fixed, because there are going to be games where you're going to have to go out and score more than 21 points. I think last week, especially when they got that 11-point lead, they thought, we're good. There's no way our defense is going to fold like they haven't been. And that's the problem. But I don't want to call it a trust issue just yet. I'll say they're keeping the reins on them and thinking that their game plan could work. And it does work if your defense doesn't give up those big plays. And that's where my issue is just the margin of error for the Saints defense is so thin. And they are a great unit, and I think they're better than what they played on Sunday. But it's the NFL, and things happen. I mean, no one's immune to a coverage bust every now and then. No one's immune to just the other team making a great play or having a great play call or seeing somewhere they can exploit you for maybe just one play and getting that right look and taking advantage of it. And so with this game plan from the Saints offense of being conservative at times, it leaves you open to these late comebacks or leaving teams around in games to have the potential for a late game comeback, because you're asking the defense to play borderline perfect or, you know, at least, you know, 9 out of 10 perfect to maintain and win a game.
Speaking with Chris Hagan, Fox 8 Sports. You can follow him on Twitter, Chris Hagan TV. So let's kind of fast forward to Sunday. One of the keys is what? Get Alvin Kamara a little bit more involved in the passing game. Interesting, he spoke yesterday. He's like, I've never not had a target. Not a reception. He didn't have a target in the passing game. That's strange, right? And I know the explanation by Sean is, well, Tony got hurt, and I went nuts. I'm like, dude, you got to, I mean, that's one of those things that's got to be on the play sheet, man. Somewhere laminated, there's got to be a screen, a wheel route, a something to Alvin Kamara, right?
Absolutely. I mean, he's a guy that teams have game planned to stop him for years now, and they still haven't been able to. I mean, if there's one player that can break a team's game plan or make something happen when it shouldn't, or, you know, have three tacklers surround him and find a way out, it's Alvin Kamara. So you absolutely have to get him the ball in space. And I think there was a bit of frustration there because he got his touches, sure, but those are some tough carries in between the tackles. Those are some tough yards, and then he doesn't get rewarded with the carries inside the 10 that go to Taysom Hill. So I think there's a bit of frustration there, because the guy does a lot of hard work to get you down the field and doesn't get those chances in open field to do what he does best, and that's create an open space and make some guys miss. So I think that's definitely a priority. I would expect to see someone else fill a little bit of that void left by Tony Jones, if that's getting a couple carries to just take a few away from Kamara or take a few hits off Kamara in between the tackles and then get him the ball in space. But at the same time, other teams know that. And who else are you afraid of on this Saints offense if it's not Alvin Kamara? I mean, Deontay Harris has probably been the most reliable guy as far as the Jameis Winston target at receiver. Besides that, you got Juwan Johnson. We saw Marquez Callaway catch a deep ball, but it's been far from consistent. So, I think you want to get Kamara more involved, but at some point it might be easier said than done. It's the fact that Ron Rivera's faced for a while. That said, this Washington defense has looked pretty bad the first quarter of the season. So I think this is a matchup the Saints can exploit either way.
You would think so, right? You would think so. But again, it's just, again, no offense to Tony Jones Jr., but your availability and health should have zero bearing on how I get Alvin Kamara to football. What do you think you see here on Sunday, sir? We'll transition to the Pels.
I think we see a team that rebounds. I mean, for better or worse, when you get exposed defensively a little bit or you have a bad game defensively, that becomes a priority. So I would not expect to see a team that's giving up too many explosive plays. I would expect them to know where Terry McLaurin is on the field at all times and you know, make sure they have a plan for him. And I think they come out and respond well. I mean, they don't want to be an up-and-down team, and we saw them respond very well against the Patriots after an embarrassing loss to the Panthers. So I would expect the Saints to come out and play well. But on top of that, I mean, Washington is so banged up, still unclear about Antonio Gibson's availability. Obviously, they're down a quarterback already, and there just aren't the playmakers there. And defensively, they haven't looked as good as they were to end last season. So on paper, this is a matchup that the Saints should bounce back against and take a good feeling into the bye week.
Pelicans 1-1 on the preseason, but I got to tell you, there are some certain things that excite me that translate. I saw rotations on defense. I see ball movement. I mean, Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Trey Murphy each with 41 points combined. That's called shooting. I don't remember what it was like watching the Pelicans play with that much shooting in the backcourt, man. What have been your sort of impressions in two games from the Pelicans?
Obviously, like everybody else, I love what we're seeing from Trey Murphy and his ability to knock down open shots, and I think he's absolutely going to be in some lineups with Zion Williamson. From going from game one to two, they obviously cut down on the turnovers, which is what put them in a hole in their first preseason game in Minnesota, so that was certainly a positive. And the assist numbers, I mean, 21 against Minnesota, obviously with the amount of turnovers, not a great ratio, but then I think it was, what, 30? It was either 28 mm-hmm. or 30 in their second preseason game, and that's huge to me. I mean, that's when this team has won games in the past, and I think that's an absolutely attainable number when you talk about Nikhil Alexander-Walker, his ability to break down a defense and create for himself as well as distribute the ball. He's made some phenomenal passes, and when Trey Murphy's knocking down shots like that, I mean, that's four or five assists right there just off of open threes. So I think when you throw Zion in the mix, obviously when you throw Brandon Ingram in the mix, defenses are going to have to make a lot of tough choices that they maybe didn't have to make in the past. I mean, they gave Eric Bledsoe so much space in the past. They gave even Lonzo Ball, he was an improved shooter, but he wasn't a Trey Murphy type of shooter. If what we right. see from Trey translates to the regular season, he wasn't a true perimeter threat like you see on a lot of NBA teams that guys have to respect. So I would certainly think this team keeps those assist numbers up. And like you said, the key is just giving everybody the lock-in on defense and seeing that translate to the regular season, because they say the right things. They say it every practice. Josh Hart mentioned it the other day. Ingram mentioned it at Media Day that, you know, defense is where he wants to improve personally. But you've got to see that applied, because Willie Green won't be the first coach that has tried to get this team to play defense, but maybe he's the most effective.
Right, right. We'll see how that happens. Give me one quick thing you want to see tonight.
What I want to see, I honestly just want to see the consistency continue. I mean, what we've seen, I don't want to see flashes, or I don't want to see what we've seen become just flashes in the pan of positivity. I want to see that this team really does have a clear direction, a playing style, and an unselfish style. That leads to open shots and see those assist numbers continue.
All right, quickly in college football last night, Tulane, they go down against Houston, had the lead briefly, didn't score again after that, just 7 points in the second half. Man, it's tough. You got SMU in 2 weeks. They got a bye week this week. They're currently ranked 24th, the Mustangs. That's at Dallas. Then you come home and host Cincinnati. They're currently ranked 5th. Chris, I'm not being ugly. I'm trying to find another win or two on the schedule, much less at this point. You got to win 5 of your next 6 to go bowling.
Yeah, and we knew this stretch was going to be tough. But you obviously pointed to UAB as a winnable game and pointed to ECU as a winnable game and somewhere to get footing and maybe get some momentum. And then maybe, you know, that game against Houston last night was even winnable for the Green Wave, the way they played for a brief stretch there. But losing that one, you go into SMU, I know you get a couple weeks off, and Michael Pratt needs some, if for nothing else, than to heal some bruises. It's going to be a tough stretch, and even past that, you've got a UCF team that's going to give them some trouble in Orlando. So you want to see them develop confidence somewhere, but it's got to be tough at this point when some of these games haven't even been close, but I think the number one problem has just been the offensive line and defense. They give up too many big plays. Looks like busted coverages out there, and then Michael Pratt's getting hit too much. That's got to change.
Mm-hmm. In Lexington, we'll close out with LSU. And look, I look at this game sort of like Tulane at ECU. You need to get this one, Chris, because if not, I'm looking at the rest of the schedule here. Bama, bye week, Ole Miss, you got Florida there as well. I just kind of think you better get this one. And oh, by the way, they're 16th ranked and playing good football. If not, ULM. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like it could be a stretch of a lot of games in a row. I'm just being honest. I don't have any confidence in them.
No, and it's the offense, unfortunately, and they just asked Max Johnson to do so much without a running game. I mean, they had issues with Bo Nix, and they had issues tackling and gave up some plays there, but offensively, when you're kicking that many field goals in the red zone or in plus territory and not getting touchdowns, that's what's going to happen. I don't blame the defense for letting a couple go late just because LSU should have scored more points than that. So they've got to go to Kentucky and find a way to keep drives alive, to put the ball in the end zone and not settle for so many field goals, even though you do have a great kicker. But if you don't win this one, like you said, it gets really tough there, and you worry about, especially in college football and these being, you know, 18 to 22-year-olds, you just worry about confidence and guys getting discouraged. Is there an op here or there? Obviously, it doesn't look like they're going to have Derek Stingley Jr. back the rest of the year. So you've got to win it now if you want to make something of this season, but it might be a little late for that already, unfortunately.
Chris Hagan, always appreciate the time, sir. You're in the rotation, man. I hope you don't mind.
Awesome, Gus. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. At Chris Hagan TV is the way to follow him over on Twitter. And I don't know, basically every day of the week they have so many shows that I lose track, Chris. I lose track of how many shows you guys got, including the prep football one tonight, right?
Yeah, we got Fox State Football Friday tonight at 10:35. So that's always a fun one. It's a roller coaster, but it's a good one.
Sounds good. By the way, my brother Martin Crusaders are taking on Ed Daniels and everybody else's Rummel Raiders. Larry, and I mean, there's so many Raiders around here.
We got them in our top teams. We're unveiling some rankings tonight, and brother Martin is definitely up there at the top.
All right. I'm a little nervous, but, you know, that's how it is. It's how it is in the Catholic League, man. Thank you so much, Chris. Appreciate it, bud.
Anytime, man.
Yeah, for sure. Quick break. When we come back, let's find out a little bit more about the Washington football team. What kind of game can we expect on Sunday? We'll go behind enemy lines next on ESPN New Orleans. Your eyes got me dreaming. Your eyes got me blind. Your eyes got me hoping.
Toyota is currently open and here to serve our community with a fresh new inventory arriving daily
and over 150 quality pre-owned vehicles.
If you have any questions regarding vehicle replacement or you're looking to purchase a new vehicle, we are here to help. Stop by 220 South Hollywood Road or give us a call at 985-876-7210 or visit GregLeBlancToyota.com.
GregLeBlancToyota.com.
We are home strong.
State Farm offers surprisingly great rates on auto insurance, but what does that mean? Surprising. This often means something comes out of nowhere, like finding that $20 bill in your dryer. Great? Well, obviously great means superior. Rates? Simply what one pays in exchange for something. And in this case, that something is State Farm being there when you need them most. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Individual premiums will vary by customer. All applicants subject to State Farm underwriting requirements.
When you want the real deal, call State Farm agent Ashley Barrios in Cutoff.
Always on the run and short on cash? With a State Bank and Trust Company debit card, you can pay for goods and services without the need for cash in your pockets or the hassle of writing checks. Available on all consumer and commercial checking account holders. Call or stop by any State Bank and Trust location for all the details. State Bank and Trust Company, Cajun banking, served just the way you like it. Member FDIC.
Easy, convenient, affordable. Lady of the Sea Family Medical Clinic in Cutoff, located directly in front of the hospital off of Highway 1 in Galliano, sees patients from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. weekdays and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on weekends. Same-day appointments are available on weekdays, with no appointment necessary beginning at 5 p.m. and anytime on weekends. The added convenience of a pharmacy at the same location makes it the best choice for patients in South Lafourche. We treat you like family at Lady of the Sea.
That man's got some stones.
Believe me, he is no wuss.
His legend lives on.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Well, when I look at some of the things he's done and look at how people react to him and how people have, you know, basically slowed him down, you know, there's an impact there still. And I think that's one of the things that we just have to be smart about.
See, it's stuff like that that makes me a little uncomfortable. 14 total tackles for Chase Young and no sacks. That was the question in the term and the issue there at hand with Ron Rivera, the head coach of the Washington football team. Three tackles for loss as we bring in Mr. Ken. Is it Podolak? How do you say your last name, sir? I don't want to butcher it.
Oh, no worries. Podolak. That's fine, Gus.
Podolak. All right. Sounds good, man. Thanks for joining us. I don't like that. I don't like hearing, is there a problem with Chase Young? Because you know what normally happens after that? A four-sack game against the New Orleans Saints on Sunday. But what have you seen from Chase this season?
Well, you know, he's been pretty much, I'll say, as expected, as billed. And I look at the Washington football team, and for this game only, I'm going to refer to them as the Sinners versus the Saints. With all their off-field activity that's going on, including their ongoing DEA criminal investigation of their trainer, director of sports medicine, etc. I do think that their defense is their strength. So naturally, we'll spend some time talking about that today.
When you look at this football team, 2-2, normally, obviously, you would go through 16 games and it'd be a quarter of the season. What would be your grade on Washington? What would you give them?
Well, I think that at this point in the season, after having lost, Ryan Fitzpatrick, they're overperforming in spite of the quarterback loss at 2-2. So I'd have to give them a B up till now, because when I handicapped the NFC East before the preseason, I had picked Dallas to be the top team and Washington to be the second best team in the NFC East. So a key point for this game is, you know, we know that Washington is the second best team in the NFC East, but is New Orleans the second best team in the NFC South? I mean, that's the real question for this game in my mind.
That is an interesting question for sure. Ken Podolak for It Sports Magazine covers the Washington football team. I think one of the things that I look at when I see Washington and just Ron Rivera in general when he was the head coach of the Panthers, they're going to play you, right? And it's sort of like you have a quarterback like that in Taylor Heinicke that's who he is. I mean, he'll spin one way or nothing, and at first you're like, what is this guy? Oh, okay. And he'll create something. And at times that can be really – I guess, dangerous to certain defenses, man. As the community kind of rallied around him and the way he plays, he seems to play with a lot of energy and passion.
Yeah, you know what, Gus? I happen to be a Ron Rivera huge fan. I just think that he handles the team professionally. He challenges the guys, you know, to execute. You know, don't overstep your abilities. You know, use your abilities and make plays when you can. And also off the field. I mean, with all that has gone on in Washington, I do think that he has steadied the ship and he will continue to do that going into the future. I mean, heck, the guy was doing chemotherapy through last season and he took the team into the playoffs. So to me, I think he has had a very positive impact on the whole scheme there. And when I look at the team that he's assembled, it's really all about the Washington defense. I mean, you started off with the Chase Young question, and in my mind, the defense itself is a top tier defense. You know, think Baltimore, think Tampa, think the LA Rams, those types of teams. And for Washington, it's all about the D-line. And they have been good for a couple of years. They have played together, starting with Chase Young, You know, Daron Payne, Jonathan Allen, Montez Sweat. I mean, heck, you got to love a defensive line that has Payne and Sweat right there putting it on the line for you. So, so to me, the Saints are going to have to find a way to neutralize those guys or at least run around or throw over them. So I would expect to see a big game out of Alvin Kamara. I mean, he's got the ability to do that. He's just got to exert himself to make it happen. In addition, the new additions to that defense, you know, cornerback William Jackson III, he's replacing Ronald Darby. And, you know, I watched Ronald Darby in Philly for a couple of years, so it is an upgrade. And they also drafted a linebacker, and I got to love this name too, Jamin Davis. you know, out of Kentucky, he helps the linebacker group. So for me, you know, the Saints' game plan on offense has to be to run the edges with Kamara and Hill. You know, think quick pitch. You know, think working the flats, short and intermediate passes, wide receiver bubble screens, that sort of stuff.
On the offensive end for Washington, Ken, how good is McLaurin at receiver?
To me, he's the number one threat on the field, and you'd have to account for him if you were on the Saints' defense for every play. And when I look at the Washington offense, you know, to me, the NFL is all about the quarterback. So, you know, when you look at the quarterback situation there, Taylor Heineke stepping in, I think he's done a really good job at filling in for Fitzpatrick, but when I watch him, it feels like, you know, when you were a kid and you tried to build something with wheels on it, right? Like a skateboard or a go-kart.
Right.
You were never quite sure if the wheels were going to stay on, you know? So when I see Taylor Heineke running around the field, that's the feeling that I get when I see Washington. So the offensive scheme for Washington versus the Falcons, their last game, was like, hey, you know, jog over to the blue pickup and then cross the street to the red Chevy and I'll hit you with a pass there. I mean, it was like street pickup. But guess what? It worked. You know, the defense did what it had to do to win the game in the end, and that was after, you know, running to the pickup and crossing the street to the Chevy, if you know what I mean. So Terry McLaurin, number one threat. Number two threat is Sims in the slot. He's a bad matchup for any linebacker or safety. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the X factor for me is the rookie tight end, John Bates, out of Boise State. I mean, he has some skill. He's a young guy. I do think that he could be a problem on the field on Sunday. You know, the running back core, Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissick. Gibson is a converted wide receiver, but it's only his second season in the NFL. So, you know, the whole consistency challenge comes to mind. So, to me, the Saints' defensive game plan has to be to mix man and zone often and make Heineke recognize and beat you. So basically, I would advocate for more man-to-man defense and make the quarterback work through the reads to find, you know, the open receiver. And then, of course, know where McLaurin is on every play.
Ken, finally, when you take a look at this game, look, obviously it's important for New Orleans to go in 3-2 and then get basically a whole roster of players at some point over the next 2 or 3 weeks. When I look at Washington, it's probably just as big here, right? To go 3-2, you got KC next week, at Green Bay, at Denver before their bye week. Green Bay and Denver currently 3-1, KC's 2-2, but they're still KC. I'm looking at that and I know I'm like, hey, this is one I got to get. I mean, this is one I got to get at home.
Yeah, for sure. It doesn't get any easier. And, you know, of course, their division games are like worse also, which fall in the latter half of the schedule. But when I look at this particular game on Sunday, the Washington football team against the New Orleans Saints, and I look at the advantages. Who has the advantages? You know, I think that the Saints are underperforming, you know, at the quarterback position and for their defense. So I give them the plus because that's a motivator in my mind. So advantage Saints. I look at the coaches, Ron Rivera, Sean Payton. I have to give Sean Payton the plus. He's a Super Bowl winning coach. I look at the quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, Jameis Winston. I think that Winston has the potential to turn the season for the Saints. So I'm going to give the advantage in the quarterback position to the Saints. I look on the defensive side of the ball. I see a guy like Malcolm Jenkins, another personal favorite of mine. I got to give the Saints defense the edge and the advantage there. Looking at last week, you know, Washington is coming off a win over Atlanta, emotional win in overtime. And the Saints are coming off a loss to the Giants. High motivator for the Saints. I got to give them the advantage there. The defense, the Washington defense allows 30.5 points per game. That's a lot of points. Saints only allow 17. So there's got to give the advantage to the Saints there. As far as the offense is concerned, the margin of victory is what I use to gauge, you know, offenses. Washington's margin of victory for their two victories is 4 points. You know, the Saints' margin of victory is 50 points advantage Saints. So, you know, it's up to the Saints to prove that they're the second best team in the NFC South. So when I look at the game, you know, I think that the Saints wind up coming out of it with a victory 20-17.
Ken Podolak trying to be a fan favorite over here on the show here in New Orleans.
I'm just trying to call it as I see it, Gus.
No, hey, I love it. Hey, you gave us the reasons and the things for it, man. Ken Podolak, thank you so much, sir, at Sports Magazine. We'll talk with Leo Haggerty coming up at 2:30 as we'll do a little review on the NFC South. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the game this weekend.
Hey, you're welcome, and thanks for the talk.
For sure. Take care. Quick break. When we come back, it'll be time to chat with the intern. Top stories coming up next on ESPN New Orleans.
She'll put a spell on you.
Murray, Murray,
she's the witch queen of New Orleans.
It's the Ram Power Days going on right now at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, and Homa. Not only can you get a great deal on a Ram, but you can see their impressive lineup of new commercial trucks and vans. Southland Dodge has the perfect vehicle for your business with Ram's long-lasting new pickups or their efficient new Ram work vans. Choosing the right one should be easy. Get more for your business with a new Ram truck or van at Southland Dodge, Chrysler, Jeep, Ram, Fiat, 6161 West Park Avenue in Homa. Here for you yesterday, today, and tomorrow.
Offshore workers are among the most important members of the Gulf Coast workforce. When a person working offshore or on a vessel is injured, the effects on their family can be devastating. At the King Firm, we are proud to have experience with these types of cases and make it a priority to see that our clients receive just compensation and are treated fairly. If you've been injured, don't play the game of claims with the insurance companies. Ring the King at 504-909-KING or 888-241-8766.
Time is money. Don't waste both running around looking for filters, batteries, and belt sand related items. Fleet Supply Warehouse delivers. Fleet Supply offers daily scheduled delivery, including Bayou Lafourche, New Orleans, Morgan City, New Iberia, Lafayette, Thibodeau, Baton Rouge, the North Shore, plus the River Parishes too. Automotive, lawn equipment, agricultural, marine, or industrial. Fleet Supply Warehouse, 985-868-0430. Venture Boulevard, Houma.
Advanced Eye Institute in Cut Off is your hometown eye care provider. Dr. Darby Chasson is here to serve the eye care needs of your entire family. Full-service eye medical and vision services are provided in a friendly atmosphere. For the latest in designer frames to advancements in astigmatism and bifocal contact lenses, call Advanced Eye Institute at 985-632-2884 for your appointment today or visit our website at visionsourceadvancedeyecutoff.com.
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
Now back to the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengau.
Well, Welcome back. It is our number one. Don't forget, go download the official daily fantasy partner of the NFL's app, DraftKings. Go download it and then put in the code LaRose and you as a new customer can get a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes. And unlike our intern who's on hold, this is safe, secure, and reliable. I would not recommend at all you give a dollar, much less five, much less 50, 100, none of that. If you give it to Jordan, we'll be safe, secure, and reliable. More importantly, the ability to deposit and withdraw your cash on DraftKings is safe, and you can do it whenever you want. You got to see if Jordan's awake. Is he in class? Is he hooping? All of those different things. No, okay? So go do it right. Don't do it by Jordan's car and all that other stuff. The official daily fantasy partner of the NFL is DraftKings for a reason. Now we bring in Mr. Jordan, the intern. Jordan, did I do that right? I mean, are you as trustworthy as DraftKings?
I've been hearing you say that the, you know, past couple of weeks. I haven't had a chance to kind of, you know, defend myself on that. I'm like, this guy is throwing me right under the bus.
Am I wrong?
The first thing that I've ever said was, I'll take my ticket.
Am I wrong?
Well, I could potentially turn your $5 into 10.
There we go.
Here's a look at what's making news. Let's check out the Sports Hangover's top stories.
You know, hearing you say I can turn your $5 into 10, essentially I heard in my mind immediately, I heard I got a tremendous business opportunity for you. Just give me your social security number. Jordan, what's going on, man? Give me some top stories around the world of deportes.
Yeah, I mean, it's mainly going to be in the NFL a few minutes ago from Ian Rappaport. The Broncos quarterback Teddy Bridgewater is in concussion protocol, but there is optimism for his status for Sunday's upcoming game. So it looks like that he might be able to play, but they're taking caution with quarterback Teddy Bridgewater.
3-1. Not many people kind of had the Broncos in that. And I know yesterday you saw the Seahawks-Rams game, and Geno Smith. How many people knew Geno Smith was still in the league, honestly? I mean, he comes in. Exactly. Delivers a touchdown drive and all that. And people were saying, you know what? To Vic Fangio and Drew Lock over there, this is how you get ready. Apparently, Lock looked terrible when he came in for Teddy Two Gloves. That West is interesting, isn't it? You got Chargers, Raiders, Broncos, 3-1. The Chiefs are 2-2 at the bottom of the cellar. You must love that.
No, I mean, it's kind of crazy how, you know, the dynamic of the league is changing over the past, you know, couple of years. It's looking like the AFC is going to be, you know, the place to be if you're, you know, if that's going to be the gauntlet on that side of the playoffs. If you're going to have to beat all the tough teams if you're in the AFC to get to that Super Bowl ring. So I think the dynamic is kind of switching from the NFC to the AFC, especially as these young quarterbacks, you know, have a little bit more time under their belt in the league.
Jordan, along those lines, I'll ask you here the next time we chat with you about through, again, let's just call it a quarter of the season. It is what it is, right? I mean, it's a quarter of the season. Where has been the surprise? I would say, right, the Chargers look strong, the Raiders having three wins, we can look into that. So I'll get some of those takes from you, too, and maybe disappointments. Give me another top story.
Yeah, some more injury news. This would have been nice a couple of weeks ago for you, New Orleans Saints. Panthers coach Matt Rhule says running back Christian McCaffrey is doubtful for Sunday as the team goes with the cautious approach. So it looks like, you know, it doesn't seem like he's going to be playing in Sunday's matchup. Some more injury reports in the NFC South. Buccaneers tight end Rob Gronkowski, issue with his ribs. He is ruled out versus the Dolphins this weekend. So some kind of injury updates along those lines. And then the big one from Ian Rappaport. A couple minutes ago, we just got an updated video over on Twitter that quarterback Russell Wilson hurt his finger and may need surgery. So there's a little video on that if you want to pull that up over on Twitter for listeners to kind of hear what he has to say and just kind of updated news. But it's like you were saying, the national storyline is, hey, did we see Russell Wilson's last game in Seattle, which is kind of crazy, but, you know, media will take it and run with it.
Is it? Is it? All right, let me ask you this. Are you trading for him right now if you're the New Orleans Saints?
Yeah.
Should the great mayor of your New Orleans, should she get a brand new video going this weekend? She's got all weekend. She's got some time. Should Mayor Cantrell post another video? You know what?
Please,
Sunday, 11:59, right before the Saints kick it off. What do you think?
Please no. Yes? I don't think we need another video. The first one was bad enough.
Should I pull that up? Here's what Ian Rappaport had to say.
Initial diagnosis, the initial belief is that it is something called mallet finger, which is really a baseball injury that Russell Wilson potentially suffered last night. He had x-rays last night. I'm told they were negative as far as broken bones go. Now, we've seen a couple different cases. Tua is one, Gronk is another, where players had negative x-rays. Did an MRI or CT scan reveals fractures. But as of now, x-rays were negative, so no fractures. It appears to be essentially a badly sprained joint. That is the best description of this. It basically means that Russell Wilson can't flex his finger. As we speak right now, he is on his way to Los Angeles to Curl and Job to go meet with Stephen Shin, who is one of the nation's experts in hand. Potentially, Russell Wilson could have surgery. Not definitively. That choice has not been made. But potentially, surgery is coming for Russell Wilson. All of these things will be sorted out as we go throughout the day. We do not know about his availability right now for next Sunday's game, which is, of course, 10 days away. What we do know is what the initial test showed, and that we're going to have more answers throughout the day.
Did you see the photos and the videos? If you didn't watch the game, like, have you seen that thing? It's nasty looking.
Yeah, and you kind of saw Russell Wilson kind of bending it after it happened. They had a zoom up on it, and it kind of made you want to puke a little bit.
Right. Anything else stand out to you today in the world of sports, sir?
Well, if you're an LSU, you know, Tiger fan, this just came out a couple hours ago that LSU will no longer require proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test for fans at home football games in Tiger Stadium for the rest of the season, and that begins October 16th against Florida.
Jordan, do you think that's why maybe you didn't see as many Saints fans? I've had a couple of people ask me that and kind of think about that. Not everybody was happy about having to need a vaccination card, show proof, get tested, and all this other stuff. And I get it. I mean, I am, so it doesn't bother me any. But there are people that didn't want to go through that and didn't feel that it should have done that. And I wonder if that's why maybe you didn't have that atmosphere that, I wasn't the only one. I mean, the Giants head coach prepared his team thinking it was going to be sort of like that. So I'm interested to see if New Orleans follows for the next Saints home game, which will be, are you ready? Halloween night, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Are we removing masks? Are we removing masks in the dome for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers?
I have no clue. I don't think so. I think we're going to, you know, kind of let this thing play out a little bit longer, try to, you know, have the numbers go down a little bit more, and then we might see some, you know, updates from, you know, the city of New Orleans to, you know, the updated mask mandates or, you know, just COVID tests. But for right now, I don't think that was one of the reasons why that the dome wasn't sold out. It might have just been, you know, people still trying to recover from everything that's happened the past couple of weeks. So who's really to tell what the reasoning was for the dome not being, you know, a packed house this past Sunday?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things that we will see, sir, is maybe some of these restrictions going down, hopefully, and then we'll see if we can all get closer to normal as we all have been. We will see.
Yeah,
Jordan, thank you so much, man. I appreciate it. And let's see. I'm looking at the rest of the guests. I don't know. Do you want to come back on or not? Or do you want to, go back to work?
It's up to you guys. It's up to you.
Oh, it's up to me. Okay. Well, in that case, I'll update you. And we'll hear from you in the 2 o'clock hour. How about that? Maybe like 2:05 or something like that.
Sounds good, buddy.
All right. Thank you, bud. Appreciate it.
All right. Talk to you later.
All right. Hour one is in the books. Coming up next, Will Guillory. We'll talk Pelicans basketball. Mr. Vegas, Rafael Esparza, 115. Marlon Favorite at 130. He'll give us the keys to the Tigers and Wildcats playing on Saturday. Kenny Farrell on the U.S. Men's National Soccer Team win last night. All out ahead in Hour 2, the Sports Hangover on your home for Pelicans basketball, ESPN New Orleans. Mexican restaurant on Highway 1 in Raceland is open and ready to please you. They have daily lunch specials Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Mouth-watering Mexican food daily with delicious specialty dishes like coconut shrimp tacos, Baja fish tacos. Plus try the trio burritos or the carne asada. Coco's Mexican has happy hour from 3 to 7 p.m. with 2-for-1 margaritas. Delivery service from waiters also available. They're located on Highway 1 in Raceland next to the post office. Coco's.
The Rouse's Markets in Golden Meadow is back open. The Rouse's family wants to thank everyone that worked so tirelessly to get the store back open to serve our community. Thank you to Rouse's Markets team members who worked at the store every day. Thank you to Rouse's Markets facilities and construction crews. Thank you to Rouse's Markets vendor partners. And thank you, our loyal customers. Rouse's